Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Hey. We're back. We're black. We're brown. Ambition in the new year. Hey, Mantra.
Yes, welcome to 2021, where everything is exactly the same or worse than it was last year. We are your hosts, Mandy and Tiffany.
Yes.
What is that little ditty you were singing?
Oh, Earth my is goodness.
A ghetto, with a smile on your face, it sounded like.
It's delightful. Would you like to just hear maybe 20 seconds of it? It's just this beautiful song written by this beautiful woman who, listen.
Earth is ghetto, I wanna leave. Can you beat me up? I'm out on the street by the corner store. You know the one on 15. Got a bright shirt on so I'm easy to see.
How delightful, right?
Well, Earth here's the ghetto. Thing. It's like, I know this was probably written in earnest and she probably has seen some things in her life, but yes. I can just like see myself like looking out the window at nothing in the cold, dark world and just kind of singing this song.
No, you have to listen to it. Like, I encourage everyone. Her name is, well, it's on YouTube. It's Nikkia, N-I-K-K-I-A, Aaliyah. So, no, Nikki Aaliyah. So, N-I-K-K-I-A and then Aaliyah, A-L-I, A-L-I-A-H, sorry. So, yeah, Nikki Aaliyah, I think that's her name on IG as well. So, it went, like, viral on IG, but the full song is on her YouTube. And when I tell you, Mandy, get ready to cackle and then be like, oh, damn, that's true. But then cackle some more.
Wait, so is it like a satire song?
Yes, it is. It's very much like, yes, like,
I'm like, either she's extremely sincere about this or this is meant to be hilarious, because my first instinct was to laugh.
Yes, no, I definitely laugh. It's she's like, basically, Earth is ghetto. Come get me. I'm just out here by the corner store. You know the 115th? She literally says, I've got five on the gas if you need me to contribute. But at the same time, you listen, you're like, damn. True, but it's been like my delight these last few days. With the dumpster fire that is 2021.
Listen, not that I expected anything to change, but I didn't exactly expect it so quickly to unravel after the new year. But I mean, I feel a little bit disappointed, but also relieved that we didn't tape a show last week, because to have the time it took me to process. I mean, I'm still processing what happened at the Capitol on January 6th of the year of our Lord 2021, which will be in history books. My rage has subsided, but I mean, I was I would call people I hadn't talked to in weeks just so I could have a fresh pair of ears to like to talk to just riff on, because oh man.
You know what's so crazy?
So sad.
I felt
so much
like
rage.
When I first heard, I actually wasn't even it took me a while to realize how my reaction was like, oh yeah, sounds about white, you know? And then when the world started to really be like, oh my God, it's insurrection, blah, 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 I was like, oh, that's right. It is a big deal. But I'm not shocked. I was not shocked. Mm. I was not shocked by the police's reaction. Did you see the woman that they helped guide down the stairs like she was on her cotillion? Like, hold on, terrorist. Yes. We don't want you to trip your little feet now. Yes. Come on, Miss Mary. Insurrectionist, this way. Mm. Literally the police waving folks in, opening doors. I mean, you know, just run of the mill, you know. And you know what's so crazy? It's the people who, like, I guess grew up in D.C., their reaction on social media has just been so enlightening. Because, you know,
I know these federal buildings are supposed to be so well protected, but there are like people who grew up are like, I don't think y'all understand. Like the fact that they got within feet of the building, the people in DC are just flabbergasted because they're like, that's literally impossible, let alone to be allowed to break windows, scale walls, go in with weapons to lay down pipe bombs. Just a little pipe bomb here.
Nooses, guns.
Girl, feces. These nasty people literally took doo-doos and smeared it on the wall. I mean, the level of nastiness.
I had not read that. I know someone pissed in a congressman's office or nearby. Tiffany, my blood boils. We have to be. I was so stunned. I don't know where you were on January the 6th, 2021, but I had just gotten off of a work call and I was sitting in the living room and CNN is kind of on in the background. And I start to see the mob happening and they're starting to cover it. But it took me a few days, I feel like, and I really, really wanted to absorb what had happened from every angle. I mean, I tried to find every video so I could see. It was a very different story from like the east side of the Capitol to the west side of the Capitol. But I was like, how insane. And then immediately the fury, because I didn't want to jump to conclusions about the police. You know, I think one of the first images I'd seen on social was the one of a police officer taking a selfie with one of the rioters. With one of the terrorists, one of the domestic terrorists. And I was like, wait a second, is that legit? Was that today? I don't know. And everything I thought, like everything that was being shared was actually something that had happened. And I was just so in so much disbelief. And then in the shock of the level of hypocrisy.
Yes. On display.
On display and irony it's almost like I've been grieving without. Like, I have not been able to stop running through my mind this scene where that was a Black Lives Matter protest. Please. And I'm like, I'm grieving the lives I know would have been lost, or hundreds that would have been massacred by police had they been Black. And I'm just grieving for what if it had been us.
Mm-hmm.
And
we wouldn't even gotten that close.
They would have taken the threat seriously when we were posting about it.
Yes.
For weeks in advance.
What's so crazy to me? Like, part of me is so happy because it's like these people have been despoiled, terrible brats that, though, you know, have pretended when other people come around, they're on their best behavior. Like, oh, no, I would never. Mm-hmm. They didn't realize, okay, you have shown your whole ass. The world has now seen. There is no more, oh, if it was us, get over the election. You guys, these riots you literally have shown your whole entire ass. And I'm here for it. Somebody said it best when, like, the night before, whatever, when the Proud Boys were fighting the police. Shout out to Dustin Ross of The Friend Zone. He said, let them hoes fight. And I say, you know what, Dustin?
I could not agree.
Yeah, because you know what? They have discredited folks who literally were marching to say, please don't kill us while we sleep. Please don't kill us while we walk. Please don't kill us while we run. Please don't kill us while we patronize other businesses. This is what the marching was about. But I'm like, what exactly are you marching against? You're marching against
a lie. Fake.
He did not. I mean, because here's the thing. And I just wish just a little bit of research would unveil it. Because here's the thing. The reason why the Trump had lost every court case except for one is because when asked fully, like, because when, you know, people can say whatever you want on TV, you know, you can say whatever garbage, you can say I'm a Martian, okay, whatever. But when you step into that courtroom and the judge asks, has there been proof of election fraud? Has there been proof of what you're saying? Every single one of Trump's attorneys, including Rudy Giuliani, has said no. Because you want to know why? Because if you as an attorney step foot into a courtroom and lie, you will lose all your licenses. So this is why he's lost every battle in court. Because when they go to court, they tell the truth because they must or risk losing their license and their ability to practice law and their ability to support themselves and their family. So they lie on TV, but they don't lie in court. Because the justice system does not play that. That's why they've lost over and over again. And the fact that Donald Trump is willing to burn this country to the ground on his way out, because he's mad that he lost. It's literally the equivalent of a kid saying, well, if I'm out, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. And not just I'm taking my ball, I'm going home. I'm popping the ball. I'm burning the ball. I'm stepping on the ball. So no one could ever play with this ball again. Like, what in the entire hell? Countries, Kenya had a little Kiki, which I even met a Kenya, Kiki girl. Kenya put on their national newspaper, who's the Banana Republic now, and pictures from the insurrection.
Listen, well-deserved, America. And this is what I know we talked for a little bit over the holiday. I feel like one of the most infuriating sound bites that I keep hearing is, this is not what America stands for. This is not America. This is America.
It is.
And that is the truth. That is the ugly truth. Those thousands of people, that angry mob, bloodthirsty mob, violent mob of thugs, of rioters, of insurrectionists, of these domestic terrorists, these people are exactly, it's like when you finally look under the rug in your house, or you look, I don't know what kind of house y'all got, maybe not under the rug, but when you kick over like an old moldy log in the woods and you see all the gunk and the critters and the filth that has been festering, that's what this is. This is, you have to take America good, bad, and ugly. And there's a lot of ugly, and we cannot heal until we reveal this ugliness and we call it what it is and we react to it. So
yes, call a thing a thing. Call a thing a thing.
Yeah. So I kind of agree with you without sounding too, I don't want to be flippant at all. And I mean, this was fucking insane. I mean, this is a democracy. These are elected officials doing their constitutional duty to certify an election that was free and fair. In spite of all the reasons, or in spite of all of the threats against it over these past months and years, it was free and fair and had been proven, like you said, in our court system dozens of times. It was free and fair. And these people were there to certify this election and go along with the will of the American people. And it just makes zero sense why these people had to do what they had to do. But I am grateful that we witnessed it. I'm grateful that we're in a digital age where there is video. Yes. And you said they showed their asses. They also showed their faces. They might as well have just put their driver's license on their forehead.
First of all, the dude who took the podium, the gall, the audacity, the caucasity, this man took the podium. Now, here's the thing. It's one thing to be seen inside the Capitol building with the podium, because the assumption is, by the time this man gets to the door, they're going to be like, bro, put that podium back. Oh, no, he wasn't stopped. That man took that podium home, put it on eBay. Mandy, put it on eBay.
How it was up to $70,000. Pickup truck and left. Oh Lord!
Can you imagine
the
audacity of caucasity? Because do you understand what kind of level of privilege that I can wave at the camera, take this home, put it on eBay? Because I'm thinking to myself, they ain't gonna do nothing. I'm doing the president's bidding and will. I just fight.
Meanwhile, so Trump is hiding behind the Resolute desk. Just, and I know he was thrilled. I know he loved every second of this. Every second. It gave me so much satisfaction that social media finally took away his binky, which is his platform. But
girl,
at the same time,
Pinterest.
Pinterest even was like, yeah, where y'all been? We banned it. But do you also feel, I think what was hardest for me was, and the reason I was so emotional this past week is all this rage, all this action that's being taken. You know, they're going to try to impeach him again. Cabinet members are resigning. There's calls believe me, for me, it's not just Trump. I want every GOP elected official who enabled this guy for years to do what he has done and to fly in the face of everything this country stands for so long. I want them all to go down. And for me, it's also this rage that, like, why now? Like, why did it take this? Why didn't Twitter and Facebook take away his microphone so long ago? Would we even be dealing with this today had they done it? And I think part of me is like, yes, finally we're seeing, well, we have yet to see what the true consequences will be. He's still the president somehow, some way. But, you know, why did it take this for people to say, oh yeah, we got problems?
But you know what? To me, the karmic glee that I get is that Republicans who were like kikiing, and they thought this was hilariously funny. Because, of course, they all knew he's an idiot, right? Mm-hmm. So they thought that it was hilariously funny. Ha ha, Democrats, look, we've got this raging, uninformed, like, mob. And I'm not saying, like, because I know people are acting like, oh, this is the Olive Garden set. No, a lot of these people were wealthy. Still stupid, but wealthy. Like, a lot of people are affluent. But anyway, this raging, uninformed mob of folks that have been supporting this president, and they thought it was delightful because they said, haha, look at this mob of Republicans we had. What they didn't realize, I was looking on Twitter and someone said, Republicans, you're mistaken. We're not Republicans, we're Trumpsters. Mm-hmm. And Republicans quickly realized that on July 6th, that wait, you are not safe. January 6th, you are not safe either.
No, they were calling for Mike Pence's head. They were like, Mike Pence.
Even Lindsey Graham got attacked at the airport. Mm. Like, that was like, you know, Trump's little lap boy. And they were like, oh, what? We heard what you said, traitor. I was like, oh, my, how the tables have turned.
That is like it's like when Scar was, you know, Simba didn't just attack Scar at the end. He fed him to the hyenas, his own pack, the pack that he created. You know, that's kind of what I feel like needs to be happening. They need to reap what they sowed. They allowed this to happen. They can't get away scot-free. And yes, Trump is the symptom, but I think the disease is truly these spineless legislators and lawmakers who would not stand up to the greater good because of their own political ambitions, which is disgusting to me. Purely disgusting. Where do we go from here? There's still a pandemic. I was talking to Tiff like before this. All this is happening, and you know, I have had some family members who have gotten COVID, but it feels like on the other side of Thanksgiving and Christmas, the numbers, the case, I mean, we just had record cases, record deaths this week. And I was supposed to have my cousin, Anna, she was supposed to come here to New York Friday to live with us and be my in-home caretaker. Lord knows I need someone to help with the baby. And she came down with COVID. She was living with an aunt, and her aunt got sick, and then she got sick. And I'm just like, oh, no. And there's this stronger, contagious strain that's going around, and cases are just going up. And it's not like any one region. It's all over the country. Cases are going up. And I just want to, if I didn't want to before, I truly have had trouble not wanting to just like dig a little cave, just take my baby and my husband and maybe the dog, you know, and just hide. Just hide until it's all over.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't know where we go from here. I mean, this is, someone said, what I would not kill for some precedented times.
Precedented, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, I just would love some precedented time. Can you imagine that remember when Bill Clinton, when the biggest drama was like, oh my God, he lied about getting a BJ in the Oval Office? Like, that's why he got impeached.
Impeached, like, right?
That, right? Can you imagine? You asked your group of merry men to desecrate a federal building, and people came really to kill. People had zip ties.
They did kill.
People had. Mm-hmm.
They did. They trampled one woman. They killed the police officer. Another police officer committed suicide. Was it over the weekend? Capitol Police officer after the riot. I mean, they have blood on their hands. I mean, why haven't they caught the people who murdered that police officer? You know, like what?
So
is
blue
this?
Lives. Remember, because you know, where are all those Blue Lives Matter people? Right? Blue lives only matter when they're harassing Black lives. Got it. Well, because I have not heard one person say, oh my gosh, they killed this police. Like, I haven't heard them say that. I have not heard, like, if that was Black Lives Matter, they would be burning Black churches down as a result.
You'd better believe it. And that's...
It's just, they hit him in the head, right? With a
fire extinguisher.
Can you imagine?
That...
Oh my goodness.
That is a... That's an intimate way to kill someone.
Yes.
And I know that the officers, you know, there was, but even the officers who were there, you know, they weren't supported Like, they weren't given the backup. I mean, you saw that black officer, like, being chased up the staircase by the rioters and by himself with, like, a little baton in his hand. And I'm like, man, they let him down. And listen, I've got family who are law enforcement. I respect law enforcement. I definitely think there needs to be police reform and defunding of police and more funding for social services to prevent these types of interactions from happening. But the lack of the bias that went into the decision not to take these threats seriously enough to call in reinforcements, that is, those offenses will not soon be forgotten. And you've seen, I think it was the chief of the Capitol Police has stepped down. Like, he said no to National Guard resources like the day before. Imagine? He said, nah, we good. It's white people. What? We're good. Like, what are they? They're my homies. Like, it's... It is, but it's like you said, there's three, it feels very much like there's three Americas. There's the Republicans or the conservatives, there are the liberals and Democrats, and then there's Trumpsters. Trump, he's formed this whole new faction, and they cannot be negotiated with. They cannot be, there's no such thing to me. I think all these calls for understanding and negotiating across the aisle, bump that. I am so tired and I am so done waiting for lawmakers to do something for American people, real working American people, people who have been suffering all year long, and even before that, from inequality, from job loss. You know, my dad still has not gotten his unemployment check. And, you know, he still hasn't even gotten his second stimulus check. And I feel, and especially, and listen, Georgia, we haven't even talked about Georgia. Georgia, amazing. I'm so proud of my home state.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's right. Oh, with all of this. I'm sorry, Georgia.
Yes,
all of this ripping.
Georgia's thunder was just... But listen, every one of y'all is my hero, the one who went out and voted in that election and turning Georgia purple, bluish purple. That being said, though, if I have to hear one more Democrat just thank Black people, oh, thank you. Like, Black people really, really saved us. Black women saved us in the general election. Now it's Black people in Atlanta saved us. And yes, they did. They truly did. You know, we showed up for them in Georgia. But where is the policy to say thank you? Like, I'm tired of lip service. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been listening really closely. It's hard to balance the instincts, which is we want revenge against Trump for what he incited on our nation's capital. But I also want Biden and his administration to get relief for people, to make good on promises that were made, and to serve Black America. Because clearly we have been underserved for so long and continue showing up to vote, calling us in to save, you know, another election and what that. But like, where is the actual gratitude? I would like to see true, true political reform. And I need Senate to just, you know, the House and Senate to be working overtime. I want both. I want Trump out. I want GOP lawmakers, you know, to be punished in some way for their complicitness in this whole administration. And also want relief, economic relief for working Americans, and especially relief in Black communities. It's time.
Yeah, no, I agree. It is time. But yeah, it was just like, I love that Georgia truly, what happened was a legacy of the great John Lewis. Mm. You know, his pastor and his intern, you know, are now representing him in Georgia and all, and his work and the Georgian people, obviously.
Yes.
And so it just felt so good. I was just like, look at God. You know what I mean? Because, you know,
Is she still around, God? You up there?
Right. No. We had a rough... But, you know, what it shows is that even in a world where, you know, the dumpster fire is burning, that there is still light at the end of the tunnel, and that there are still more people who want good than those that do not. I think that's what all of this has shown. That even though it's the race is definitely too tight, but there's still more people who want good than those that do not.
Yes, it's a thin margin. It's too thin, but it's there nonetheless. And
yes,
I think we've got to continue. You know, it's funny how when I started talking on the podcast about this kind of stuff, Tiff, like, honestly, I've been dealing pretty okay this past week. Like, yes, I've been angry and talking and stuff, but, you know, I've throughout the day, Like throughout my day, I'm genuinely finding pockets of joy and taking walks and hanging out with my son and talking to my family and trying to find, you know, these moments. And it's I sit down to do the podcast and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm fucking outraged. I forgot. Like it's hard to handle all these different emotions and carry that throughout the week. So, you know, for anyone who's just it's like you're feeling the emotional whiplash of this year and honestly 4 years. It's exhausting, but nonetheless, I feel the need to say, you know, do what you can to take care of yourself. We have to hold our elected officials accountable. We do. So call them, you know, send your emails, post, whatever you got to do. But, you know, ultimately the fight is not over and we've got to stay strong, stay healthy, wear your masks, take care of one another, take care of your community. And, you know, let's continue to try and just survive the best we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, truly. I mean, I don't even know. You know, you're just like, it just can be all too much. But there just is a lot of good. No matter what, I just remind myself, there's a lot of good. There's a lot of good. There's a lot of good. Not to grow weary in the, and while doing the good work. And, yeah, so, I mean, that's all we can do.
There's good here at Brown Ambition Land.
There is.
We had to purge the demons from this past week, but let us know how you guys are feeling. I was going through the inbox, and I were about to jump to questions, and I saw a couple of emails come through, and I know that our listeners really wanted us to call out the hypocrisy of the comparisons between that riot and BLM protests. And I got to say, I don't know why. I think I'm a masochist, but I went to a couple of friends' Facebook pages who I know have Trump leanings, and just to see, you know, what are they saying in their circles to defend what had happened. And you see these like infographics comparing the number of people who were injured at BLM rallies versus the riot, and how there were hundreds of BLM rallies versus one Capitol riot. Like those are, you know, that those are equitable things. And so we hear you, our listeners, and the hypocrisy is there. And this, not that we needed any source of justification or we needed a reminder that it was understandable and the least we could do to hit the streets the way that we did in the wake of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor this past spring and summer. Those protests mattered. They continue to matter. We have got to keep We have every right to keep doing it. And so anyway, just wanted to acknowledge that from our listeners. And if you see that stuff on, I really need to stay away from those people's pages, because it's quite baffling to me how quickly they can find a rationale for even this extreme nonsense.
I mean, anything can be rationalized, right? I mean, for real. Anything. And so once you start to see that, you realize, like, why am I even going back and forth with you? You clearly, you know, common sense is not what you're thinking.
Yeah,
about,
I don't. So. I honestly, I'm taking a break from even trying to comment or trying to talk to people who I think, you know, are supporting the other side. Like, I just I got no words. I think, you know, everyone has the same education. That's not true. Everyone has access to the internet. And, you know, you choose to believe what you choose to believe. And if you don't take advantage of the educational resources and truth and facts out there, then that's on you. Mm-hmm. Not my responsibility to educate everybody.
Whew. I know that was a lot, but I hope you got a chance to woosah. And let's go into my favorite part of the show, questions.
Questions.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost work there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply. Happy 2021 to all of our lovely listeners who sent questions. I am catching up. I took a little bit. I'm continuing to take like a Instagram break specifically for the new year, but I dug back in. I broke my Instagram fast to go and check questions there. But we also got a couple from email. Let's see. Oh, I have. There's one from our email. They want to be remain anonymous, but they have a question about side hustles, Tiffany, specific to you. Okay. All right. They listened to a recent episode and said, Tiffany, you mentioned in one episode that when you were trying to pay off your debt, you used to have side hustles and one of them was taking surveys. You didn't really get into how you did it, but my question is, did you ever have a privacy concern doing online surveys? I recently found a great survey website where you speak your thoughts out loud and they record your screen and voice while you review website surveys, etc. It's not big money, but it's a nice chunk of change that I didn't have before. My only concern is that with some side hustles, it feels like you are selling your soul and privacy. Sometimes they want me to turn on my video for facial expressions and authentication, which would be the same thing as going in person. So I'm not sure if it's really a big deal, but it does feel weird.
Well, I have to say that when I was doing surveys were really like, I didn't do as many surveys as I did studies, meaning like I physically went to a place and I was like, every Monday, I come and wash my hands with this soap and be like, it's dry. It feels silky. I like it. I don't. So I did way more of those. I did like a sleep study. I remember the sleep study was the best because they paid like $2,200. So I was like, ooh.
Wait, good really?
Yes.
Did but you it have was, to go to like a sleep institute type
and
thing?
And sleep. Yeah.
So weird and amazing.
But it is. I was like, but look, I wanted that $2,200. It was like, I remember it was me and a bunch of my roommates. We were like, so who fit to sleep? but it was $2,200. And I was honestly, rent at the time was $500 a month. So you can imagine that was like 4 months worth of rent. So it was worth it to me. Mm-hmm. So I will say that I did way more studies than I did surveys. But even that, I mean, it's a sleep study. They put like things, you know, and we're like, hey, let's see if you sleep through the night. So it is a little invasive because they're wanting to know your reaction to help them gauge what's going to be the reaction of the end user eventually. So, I mean, you will have to decide, you know, just how comfortable you feel. But there are other, I mean, it's harder now because we're, you know, because of social distancing and staying inside, where before I used to always be able to babysit. Someone always had a baby that they wanted an ex-preschool teacher to babysit. I mean, because who doesn't want an ex-preschool teacher to babysit your baby, you know? So I could always easily make money doing that.
I guess it depends on why you're an ex, you know, did you get fired? Depends.
Yes, exactly.
Beating the children.
That's true. That's true. No, but you know what I mean? Like if I was like, oh, my preschool shut down, you know, and I'm just like, you know, looking for, you know, other means of work. People were like, I mean, people would literally call me and say, what are you doing this weekend, girl? And I'm thinking they want to hang out. And they're like, can you watch the baby? Mm. So there's that. No, so I would just say, it's a little harder now, but certainly leaning into what do I have my degree in? That's first and foremost. And what do I have experience in? And how can I monetize that? So you might, right now, if you're super organized, you're good at answering email, I can't tell you how many people that I know are looking for admins. There are Facebook groups that are filled with entrepreneurs. So I would look for entrepreneur Facebook groups if you are so inclined. And, you know, admin work is, you know, you know how to use Google Calendar, you know how to answer emails. I mean, you can really make some good money being someone's admin. Are you a good writer? people are looking for copywriters all the time. You know, are you, can you edit? So leaning into what you went to school for and what you have experience in, and is there a way to monetize that if you feel uncomfortable, which I can understand, doing surveys and such. There are other ways. I highly suggest working with these new entrepreneurs. There are so many new, especially women, especially Black women entrepreneurs that are looking for bookkeepers, accountants, support staff, customer support. I mean, so I would lean into that if I felt uncomfortable doing surveys.
You know, that's an amazing coincidence because I was going to save this question, but it's related to what you're talking about. This question comes from a listener who doesn't reveal their name. But anyway, she's an entrepreneur, just like you're talking about. And she had a question about hiring a VA, virtual assistant, which is basically an admin, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's segue really quick. So they say, I'm seeking help with hiring a VA and working with brand ambassadors / influencers. I found a VA and she understands how I run my business. I know that Tiffany has a team as an entrepreneur, so I'm wondering how she did the onboarding process. Did you have them sign an NDA or a contract? How do you pay them? My VA will be full-time. I'm also looking to hire someone who will be part-time to work on SEO / Facebook ads. So this is like, okay, cool, find somebody, but like, how do you protect yourself when you know, do they sign a contract and how do you pay them?
Yeah, so everyone signs a contract, everyone, whether you are a consultant, contract worker, or full-time or part-time employee, with me anyway. Everyone signs an NDA and everyone signs a reasonable non-compete, like meaning like while you're working with me, you're not also going to be simultaneously working with a business that does the same thing. Mm-hmm. And passing our stuff from business to business. So we do that. I mean, well, within reason. If say if you are you're someone who does websites, then no, there's not this non-compete because it's not. But if you are our CFO, then yes, you know, there's a non-compete certainly. So yes, you want to have your VA sign an NDA, sign a non-compete. And then if they are a full-time employee, then you're going to want to there should be some sort of HR onboarding, and you can do some contract, like hourly, like HR person to help you to make sure that you have them fully aligned with, you know, whatever your state is and making sure that they're getting the benefits they're supposed to and getting, you know, like you're paying the proper taxes and things like that. So you want to, you know, having someone who does HR, they don't have to be full-time. We hire someone when we need them. But as far as the actual onboarding of like to do the work, if you've had a virtual an assistant prior, then you can have them train. Like, for example, I've got this amazing, like Leah on my team used to be my admin. So did Sylvia on my team. She used to be my admin. They were so awesome. And I always like for people to work where they feel like most joy. And Leah really loved finance and she did bookkeeping at her church and things. So Leah's now on the finance team. Sylvia really, she's amazing at managing our community, our Dreamcatcher community. So Sylvia moved on to do that. But when we onboard a new executive assistant or virtual assistant, those two women helped to train her as people who did a good job at it already. If you don't have someone, then you will have to train them because you, I'm sure, were your own admin ahead of time. So that's for that person. Now for the SEO and things like that, like that person will already come with the skill set. So you might be helping to onboard them as far as like maybe some company culture stuff, but they should know how to do the thing you're hiring them for. Like when it came to my CFO, I'm not going to train you how to be a CFO. You have to come with that knowledge. But certainly there's some onboarding when it comes to like, we actually have like video where like, this is like the unicorn way. So I call my team the unicorn squad. We literally have like this video and a set of like series of like mini classes almost to understand the culture of what you're coming into. And depending on the position, we also have SOPs, which are scopes. What does the SOP stand for?
Scope of project?
Yeah. Oh, no. Is it scope of project?
Dang it, I thought I nailed it.
I know. No, basically, an SOP just basically said, this is how we do this thing, right? And so, like, so when somebody else comes in, they know, they can see through video and written word how something is done. So that takes time to build those things. So, yeah, that's what I would just,
Standard
suggest.
Operating procedures.
Yes, there it is. Duh. I always just call them SOPs. I always forgot what they were,
my God, you're
what they meant. But yeah, so when someone comes in, oh yes, we're like, here's an SOP. here's a unicorn way.
I didn't even know what this was called. I love an SOP. Oh my God, I live and die by SOPs. Listen, I have an SOP for everything.
I was going to say, you seem like SOP person.
I'm going to call it an SOP folder. Now I call it a resources folder, but everyone asks me questions and I'm like, yeah, there's a doc for that. And here it lives here because you need it for transitions. Yes, and for training, do not, when you said training, I'm like, do not skimp on training time. Set aside 1 week or 2 weeks for training. Don't think they're going to be ready from the jump. Like, you need to teach them the ways of your world.
Yes, and just know that that takes time to build up your SOPs. It takes time to get those things together. But the sooner you start to build, like, kind of like that back end part of your business, because that's the real part of business. Like, making money is the front end of your business. And don't, you know, obviously that's important. But if you want to sustain and be here for years and years and years, it's that back end stuff that the reason why so many businesses fail, because they fail to do SOPs. They fail to do trainings. They fail to adhere to understand that there's a company culture that they have to actively cultivate. They fail to understand, like, girl, should I be an LLC partnership, sole proprietor? Should I be an S corp? Should I be a C corp? What do those things mean? Am I should I be a 501c3? Like, they fail to do the foundational things. And so they build, but they build on a shaky foundation. So yeah, lean into those foundational things. It's going to take time. If you're not going to do it in 1 year, 2 year, we still work on those things every day.
Yes. I mean, the blueprint for your processes is exactly, I mean, it saves you so much time for one thing, because the time it takes you to train people is going to be cut so drastically down if you have documents that they can read and be trained on. And then doing, we even do like, I kind of treat my team as a, I don't know, like they've been certified in a certain skill set. And then every, you know, depends on what we're talking about, but every like at least a quarter, we have a training, some kind of training to revisit something, a tool, a process, you know, a certain skill that we're trying to emphasize. So I, you know, I think as a good leader, you're constantly, you know, dusting off those procedures and making sure that they still make sense. People still know how to do it. We're looking for inconsistencies and oof. Yes. Especially the bigger your bigness, bigger your bigness gets, the bigger your business gets, the higher the stakes are from when mistakes happen. So you've got to make sure that people know, you know, how we get from A to Z. And I'm glad I know what that's called now, Tiffany. Thank you. Because, you know, SOPs. Yes. All right, cool. Well, that was fun and unexpected, those questions. But thank you, Tiffany, entrepreneur in residence, for your insights there. All right. And thank y'all for your questions. Shall we pause there and we'll be right back with our Brown Boost Brown Break?
Yes, let's do it.
Lovely.
And now it's time for the boost or break or boost or break. Are you going to boost, Mandy, or are you going to a break?
I'm going to boost against all odds. I'm going to find some things to boost. So one of, oh, I sounded so Valley right there. So, ooh, I'm sorry for your ears at home. Please don't unsubscribe because of that. Anyway, I did something that I'm going to make. Well, listen, I'm not going to start pressuring myself to make that a certain routine, but I have over the past year, you know, being stuck at home all day has really helped me see where we need to be trimming in terms of stuff. So this past week, really the past like 2 weeks, and especially with Christmas, listen, the number of toys, listen, if you're listening and you're my family, don't get this child any more toys. He doesn't have the space for them. I don't have the space for them. Where do you think we're going to fit a child-sized Maserati? Talking to you, grandpa. We have a child trike and we have a child BMW. We have like three cars.
Oh my goodness.
This child has more cars than we do. There's no garage for these cars. And on top, he's got, anyway, so many toys. So we did I've gone one room at a time and just tried to get rid of something, you know, get rid of if it's 5 things or 10 things or organize things. And I feel it's so satisfying to me. So I wanted to kind of list a resource that I've been loving lately. I know last year, the year before, it was all about Marie Kondo. And I still do ask myself, especially in the closet, you know, does this spark joy before I get rid of some things? But what's been helping me with the parts of the house that, you know, aren't really like a joy, like, you know, the silverware drawer, you know, the utensils that you need, but they don't like spark joy. But, you know, every once in a while you got to pick up something hot. So you need a spatula or, you know, tongs or whatever. But I have been using the Home Edit,
which is they're like this big Instagram kind of what do they call? They have a Netflix show now, and they have a blog, and they just know how to organize stuff, and it's so satisfying. Listen, my stuff's never going to be as beautiful as what the home edit people do, but they have inspired me, and I've learned the power of containers, like the power of just getting a bunch of little shallow little trays and putting them in my drawers and then putting like stuff together. And mentally, I just feel so much better. So that is my boost, I guess, for organization and for purging stuff and just kind of trying to create more breathing space for life in general. So that's my boost.
Oh, lovely boost. I was also going to boost because I feel like, you know, the whole first segment was breaking.
Yeah, that was cathartic, though.
It was. No, I have no regrets. My boost is going to be, I think, sidebar, I think I'm going to get a Peloton. We'll talk about it. But I know. I'm happy for you.
You don't got to follow me. I'm just happy for you.
Okay. But
you would love the Peloton power walking, the guided walks. They're great. I did one today.
Mm. Okay. Okay.
Come through, Chase.
It's part of my boost in that I am always trying to lose 10, 15 pounds. I mean, we've been talking about it for like 5 years, right? I would always love to only have to lose 10,
but yeah, continue.
So I just said, you know what, Tiffany, you are 41 years old and I don't want to live the next 10 years, like always be like, if you would only. Mm-hmm. So instead I said, you know what, let's make what I have. I call it my health checklist. And it's about 12 things that I aspire to. And my job is to try to do at least 6 of them. So I'll give you an example. I'm going to see if my health checklist is in this.
Every day?
Mm-hmm. But it's like, I'm telling you, the things are not like, I told myself, these are not major, like, on purpose, I have some light things and I have some like heavy things. I found it. Okay. So health checklist. So here's some of the things, right? Stretching, 30 minutes of exercising, whether that's a walk or otherwise. Taking apple cider vinegar. I try to take that like once or twice a day. Taking a nap because health, you know. Having at least a full-size serving of raw vegetables, like a salad or whatever. Meditate. Start eating afternoon. I do intermittent fasting when, you know, the mood strikes me. So not to eat until noon and to stop eating after 6:30. Having lemon water, only water, no juice, no soda. No takeout candy/cookies. If you know me, that never happens, but it's on my list.
No takeout?
Yeah. Well, meaning like that day, right? And then sleeping at least 7 hours at night. So what I do is like, I'll give you an example for today. Did I stretch today? No. Did I get 30 minutes of exercise or walk? No. But you know what though? If I don't get it in, I get on a treadmill before I go to sleep and just walk on a treadmill and like, you know, watch like Netflix. So I'll get that in later. Apple cider vinegar. I'll have that later tonight. I did take a nap. So did I have a serving of raw vegetables? No, but I'm going to have a salad after this. Did I meditate this morning? Yes. Did I start eating after 12 noon? I did. Did I stop eating after 6:30? It's about 6:30-ish now. I'm going to have a salad. So no. Did I have lemon water all day? Yes. Did I have any juice today? No. But do you see like how it's way less pressure about like Tiffany loses 10 pounds. It's more so, here are some things that like attribute to a healthier lifestyle for you. Let's try to get some of them in. And it's like, honestly, it's made the journey less, I don't know. Cause you know, sometimes you're so hard on yourself. And so
I feel that,
you know,
I so feel like it deeply.
Yes. Because so it's 12 things, but my goal, honestly, it's not the 12. Cause honestly, the 12 would be doing too much. Instead, Tiffany, can you get to 6 of these things? And there are like 3 things that I really think like would make the biggest difference, like the exercise, the raw veggies, and then not even eating after 6:30. So I try to get at least 2 of those 3 core things in, but ideally like, so it's made it so much easier. So sometimes I'll look and I'll say, oh, I only did 3 things today, but you know how quickly I can get down and stretch, knock that out. You know how quickly I can have my apple cider vinegar. Okay. Now you've just gotten 2 things done in 10 minutes. And so it's just made the process of like living a healthier lifestyle less, I don't know, less shame filled and less guilt filled and just more so like I am holistically trying to live a healthier life. And so it's just honestly, it's, and because of that, honestly, Mandy, because of this, I have walked almost 6 days this week for almost an hour every day, because it's not about, did you get your exercise in, Tiffany? Come on, you put on that 5 pounds. It's more so, you know, let's look at our list. Did you get your walk in? You know you like walking. I didn't. You know what? I'm going to call a friend while I walk today. And so I just encourage you that if you're working on something, to take away like the, the shame of it all. And my health checklist has just really helped in the last 2 weeks. And I stepped on the scale today and I was like, oh, look, I lost 3 pounds. But I haven't felt, I lost the 3 pounds, but not in the way like I normally do, which is like, I only drank water and I only had salad. And then the moment I look at a pizza, it's like, well, we're back. And so, yeah. So my boost is my health checklist. It's really helping to change the way I look at living a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah, I got addicted to endorphins again this past 6 months, and I'll take them any way I can get them. A nice brisk walk. I love a good dance party. Sometimes I'll go down to the Zen Den, which is not quite zen-y right yet, but it's zen enough. And we have a speaker down here, and I just play some music, and maybe I'll be like 3 minutes, but I love a little dance breakout. Just something to move, get the blood flowing, and it just, the endorphins, baby. They're so good. But that's right. I mean, I personally have tried. I was talking to my therapist about this. I was like, look, what can we do here, Laura? Like, what can we do here to make it so that I don't have to spend another year looking at pictures from last year and being like, man, why did I think I didn't look good? I look great. I'm so tired of that.
Yes.
Like, why can't I just think I look good now?
Yes.
So I have been trying to, do that. And I feel the same way you do. I'm just sick of it. I'm just, it's a broken record.
It is.
I remember being 8 years old, my sister and I were dieting, running in circles around the house to lose weight. When I was 8, that means for like nearly 3 decades, I have been obsessed with weight, and oh my God, I'm just over it. I'm like, I don't want to choose that anymore. I don't want to choose that broken record lifestyle.
Mm-mm-mm. That's exactly how I felt. And that's why I'm excited about Peloton. So you, Mandy, do you have the new one? There's like some new one, and then they have like the other one. The differences don't seem I think the new one honestly seems like it's just like a larger screen. I'm like, who's paying $500 extra for this larger screen? Okay.
I don't know what I have. I have the one that I got in, I ordered it in June and I got it in August. So listen, I think Peloton's still having really like slow delivery times because
of the
pandemic.
They do 10 weeks. They said 10 weeks.
Yeah. So you have to, it's definitely, a long wait to get one. It's not the kind of impulse purchase where you're going to get satisfaction tomorrow, but the app is really great even without the actual bike. And they have, I don't know if you're getting the treadmill or the bike, but for me, the app, it's awesome. And I just started to use, they have amazing meditations. They have tons of different meditations. I love their little 5 minute or 10 minute guided stretches. So I'll do some of those sometimes. And I recently started to use the guided walks, and I never knew I needed a walking, buddy. Well, I mean, I always knew I needed a walking buddy, but I don't have one 'cause COVID, but I've loved having someone kind of in my ear coaching, and I probably won't follow every, guideline, like walk faster here, because, I have my dog with me and she runs me ragged. But it's nice, and it gets me walking longer than I might have. And anyway, but I'm 100% a proponent for it, but I'm also, I'm also a proponent for the free high of those endorphins, and just moving because it makes you feel good and not because of the scale. Because it truly does make you feel good.
Yes. And I love that you said that's exactly how I felt. Like I don't know that I'll do the guided walk only because I had gotten the Nike app, and all of a sudden the walk that I used to enjoy so much became like this thing that I didn't like, because I'd be like, okay, well, Tiffany, you got to do 5 more minutes. No, you got to. And I'm like, you used to love walking. So I turned off all that stuff.
Okay.
And I do one of three things when I walk now. I phone a friend or like a family member, like talk to my mom or my bestie or my friend Cabrera or Rihanna, whoever. I listen to a podcast, shout out Brown Ambition, or I listen to an audiobook. Those are my three favorite things to do on a walk. And I live next to a park. And so I play this game with myself. Like, are we going to do the city or the country today, Tiffany? Like, the country is like walking the park, like, because the park has really great walking trails. Or like, am I gonna, like, I love where I live and Newark because the houses are so historic. So you see these really beautiful Georgian mansions and Victorian this and that. So I choose every day, like, what am I gonna do? And it's been such a joy. Like, literally, I will walk for an hour and won't even have noticed it. Sometimes I'll walk longer because the chapter I'm listening to is so good.
What are you listening to? What audiobook are you into?
Right now, I'm into this audiobook called Small Giants. It's like so good. Companies that chose to be great instead of big.
Oh, and, I love that concept. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard of that.
And so I was like, because for those of you, I've shared this like openly that I would like to step away from being the CEO of the Literature Academy, like still obviously owner and still, you know, like being on the board and, you know, giving advice and stuff. But I want to instead just focus on Budgetnista. But I, with the Academy, the aim is to grow bigger. But I just was like, while reading this book, it's like, well, who said that's what you have to do? For the Academy, that's fine. But I'm realizing I don't necessarily want that for Budgetnista. That instead, I think I'd like to keep it relatively small and just do great work and, you know, and make enough money to continue to do that great work. And so I've just been just exploring what that might look like. And yeah, but it's been such a great book because it's a lot of case studies of these amazing companies that have done this amazing work while not being, you know, Apple and Facebook. And it's like, you don't need to aspire to do that. You know, you can just be amazing in Newark and change hundreds of thousands of lives and, you know, make enough money to retire yourself and build generational wealth while still maintaining it. Like, smallness is relative, obviously. But so I've just been exploring that. And I've been reading, like, before that, I read, like, I love Jonah Berger's books. He's got this book called The Catalyst and Contagious. They're all marketing books and they're really good. There's also a book, The Effective Executive. That's up next for me. So I just been reading. When it comes to audiobooks right now, I'm really into like business books. But then I also read Lead from the Outside, or listened to Lead from the Outside by Stacey Abrams. And so, and after this, I also want to read this book called I think it's called The Vagabond, How to Travel This World or something to that effect. So I was a big reader as a kid and life got quote unquote in the way. And so just like walking, I forgot how much I loved reading and I've just been enjoying reading and walking, one of my two favorite things.
Oh, I love that. I like to keep several books going. I have my audiobooks for when I'm doing something where I can't hold a book. And then now that, you know, homeboy is sleeping more regularly during the day, he's down to one nap and I can kind of like, I know I'm going to get that little break, which is nice. And I have like a hardback book. So recently I read Blink by Malcolm Gladwell.
Ooh, good one.
And I also read Outliers. I gobbled up Outliers real quick. I love that message. I love the message in Outliers and I think that's it's a really fast read and it's also kind of a case study. I was kind of like, I felt some type of way about how all the outliers he chose was white men, but I'm like, I'm sure there's even more encouraging stories from people who aren't white. But anyway, it's just a good message in the sense that it's a good message for people who think, you know, greatness is something like you were born great and that's why you're great. You know, it really acknowledges certain inherent privileges and also just how a stroke of luck, the time you were born, the decade you were born, the day you were born can have ripple effects for what happens the rest of your life. So I really enjoyed those. And then, my God, I'm looking at my Audible and I'm like, damn, I have a lot of books. So I finished Hunger by Roxane Gay. That's a memoir. Speaking of which, Hunger, you know, Roxane Gay, she's morbidly obese and she's really open about talking about that journey. But Hunger is a memoir of her body. It's literally about, you know, that her being young as a young girl, she was raped by a group of boys in her neighborhood and how that manifested itself into a eating disorder. And it's a really beautiful, you know, it's pretty dark, but as a person who struggled with her weight her whole life, I found it very, it was a good book. I enjoyed it. And then, my goodness, I have all the Harry Potters. They're my fun. And The Meaning of Mariah. I was listening to Mariah Carey's memoir and she sings sometimes in it and it's fun.
I could see. That is so Mimi.
Yeah. her voice, I knew I wanted to listen to her voice while she's.
Yes.
It's, so reading for joy.
I think the Blink, the Malcolm Gladwell were as like workish, businessy related as I've been, because I like to escape. But I love that. Yeah. Getting back into some reading, trying to rediscover the time, you know, I can save when I'm not scrolling through the gram, getting mad at all my friends who are doing things they shouldn't be doing, like being in public and trips and things like that.
I'm like, stay home, or just, you know what? You could just not post it so we can just know that, you know.
You know what? You cannot post it. I would be so ashamed. I would be so ashamed to be posting them these pictures. I got so mad. I was like, why don't people care? Like, what?
Right? They're like, hey, look at me getting COVID or spreading it.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to the Bahamas. I don't care anymore. If they don't care, I don't care. And my sister talked me down. But yeah, anyway, find your pockets of joy anywhere you can.
Yes.
Get them. Yes. It has been, we're turning the corner onto a year of this pandemic life. And yeah. I don't know what that means other than the fact that it has been a long ass time. And this has been a marathon, and we all, like, we have to acknowledge that we have been through something, and we need to, yeah, try to find those pockets of joy and grace and, you know, keep on going on.
Yeah. And just thank you guys for being here with us. We truly, truly, truly appreciate y'all.
Likewise. Well, I'm glad to be talking to you again, Tiff.
I know. We back.
We back. All right. Well, have a good rest of your night. Enjoy your greens.
All right. Thank you.
It's almost 7, though. You better run.
I know. But, you know, greens, I feel like, you know, you get a little, you know, you get a pass with greens.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Take care. Right. As Sesame Street would say, that's a good anytime snack, Tiffany.
Yeah. Oh, you can tell you have a toddler.
Tiffany, the willpower it takes me not to break out into any of the Sesame Street songs is... I need to go because I'm about to do
it. Wait. No. We have to. I want to, like, just like, I want the song to take us out. The Earth is Ghetto song. Like, we might as well just let that play out as we slowly go into the
wilderness. Are we going to have to pay for this? We can go ahead.
No.
Earth is ghetto. I want to leave. Can you beam me up? I'm out on the street by the corner store. You know, the one on 15th. Got a bright shirt on, so I'm easy to see. I've been down here stranded indefinitely. I can't reach my planet, but I need to leave. You should see these people. It's hard to believe how they treat each other. It's hard to conceive. Oh, Earth is ghetto. I want to leave. Oh, Earth is ghetto.
All right, Vandra.
I want to leave.
Bye. Okay, bye. Let me know when you get the rocket ship. I'll be there.
Okay.
Bye.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.